The beginning of Parshas Bahaloscha deals with lighting the candles in the Beis HaMikdash, in the temple. But since we do not have a temple today, and a Beis HaMikdash, B'mheira Yibana Beis HaMikdash, maybe soon we will. So therefore, instead of talking about lighting candles in the Beis HaMikdash, we'll talk about lighting candles Friday night, and perhaps lighting candles on Yontif or Yontif Sheni, or perhaps not lighting candles on Yontif or Yontif Sheni. So we'll go back to that. So the rabbis tell us, it's not a biblical halacha, that there's a mitzvah to light before sunset Friday night. One has a mitzvah to light candles. And the Gemara says, and why before sunset? Because at sunset, before sunset is considered day. When the three stars come out at night, it's considered night. The time in between sunset and nighttime is called Ben Hashmashos, doubtful day, doubtful night. So therefore, we're not sure. It might be Shabbos. And one of the 39 prohibited activities is to kindle a fire. So hence, one must not light candles after sunset. If they look at the clock and it's past sunset, they can no longer light. If they can find a Gentile around, so then you can get a Gentile to light at a certain point, once sunset, a Jew can't light candles anymore, and that's it. If you can't find, you won't light candles that night. Yeah, Jeff.
Look, just as with a malacha, are we strict in both times? Like Friday, we must not do malacha after sunset, but Shabbos, we must not do malacha until after three stars. Is that right?
Absolutely, because we got to be strict on both sides, because we don't know. That's why it's a 25-hour Shabbos, not a 24-hour Shabbos. So that's the halacha, that we light candles before. And the Gemara says, because of shalom bayis, because of peace of household, tranquility, calmness in the house. We know light, when you're sitting in a dark room, it could be depressing, but also when you want to get up and walk out, the likelihood of stubbing your toe on something. And then that usually causes misplaced aggression. Whoever's around you starts screaming out. We know how the game is played. So therefore, the rabbis wanted Shabbos. That's why Shabbat Shalom, I'm guessing that's where the greeting came from. And therefore, they wanted to ensure that we have lights. That's what we're all familiar with, the sad time, seasonal adjustment disorder, that people who have clinical issues, that people who can't get enough light, it's a serious issue during the winter months. And therefore, Chazal were well aware of this. And as well, therefore, we make sure that we have lights in our house before Shabbos begins. So that's the mitzvah of lighting Shabbos candles. And traditionally, it's always been done with candles, oil, because before there was electricity, it wouldn't be an issue. Obviously, that's the way you light. That's the way you light a fire. And then, what about, and in fact, that was, and that's the Gemara in Shabbos talks about how important lighting Shabbos candles are. If you only have enough money to buy Shabbos candles, to buy Hanukkah candles, or to buy wine for Kiddush, the Gemara says, Pshita. It's obvious. Friday night candles win. Mishum Shalom Beso. Because of Shalom Bayis. Of course, perhaps today it might be different. That's a separate shiur. Maybe we wouldn't have to put them on the Shabbos candles as we'll get to the end of this year. But that's, so we see it's not just a nice principle, it's a halachic principle. You light Shabbos candles for Shalom Bayis. So obviously, like any mitzvah, you make a bracha. The question is, when do you make the bracha? Well, we have a general rule. The Gemara tells us in Psachim and Dav Zayin, the Rambam in Hilchas Brachas tells us, quote, codifies the rule that Generally speaking, we make the brachas over lasioson. First we make the bracha, and then we do the mitzvah. That's how we classically do it. And the Gemara gives a couple of exceptions. The one exception to the rule is a Gentile is converting to Judaism. So therefore, he has to make the bracha after he comes out of the mikvah. Why? What about the general principle of making the bracha first? So for obvious reasons, because before the mikvah, he's not Jewish yet, so he can't make, he can't make the bracha. He definitely can't make a halachic bracha. He can say the words, but it won't be a bracha. So therefore, he has to wait till after the mikvah, he becomes Jewish, now he can make the bracha. And al netila shodayim, your hands are dirty, you don't want to make the bracha before you wash your hands. So there are a list of exceptions to the rule, but all things being equal, first you make the bracha, and then you do the mitzvah. So is Friday night any different? So some say no. The Machaber, Rav Yosef Cairo, and this is among the Svardim, you have a split. Avadya Yosef goes with the Shulchan Aruch. I think the Ben Ish Chai goes with the Ramah. But so I think the simple pshat of the Machaber and the Shulchan Aruch is that, yeah, why is it any different? You make the bracha, and then you light the candles. Why wouldn't it be? That's the Sephardi opinion. The women make the bracha, then they light the candles. The Ramah and the Minig Ashkenaz is no. We say, we do Minig Ashkenaz, we light the candle first, and then we make the bracha. In fact, you light the candle, the woman or man, they cover their eyes, they make the bracha, then they look. So what's this machlokas all about? What's this issue? Why do I make the bracha before or after? So the general rule is over lasiyasin. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't think it's any different. Why do we think it's different, B'nai Ashkenaz? Because what's the concern? Because we all know, once you accept Shabbos, you can no longer light the Shabbos candles. So the question is, when someone lights Shabbos candles, do they accept the Shabbos? Is it automatic? Does it depend on what I'm thinking? Could I light candles and not accept Shabbos? Is that a possibility? So we assume l'halacha that yes, it is. And in fact, that's what I'm assuming the Machaber is assuming as well. That you make the bracha, why not? This, a woman should not have in mind, I assume this is standard Sephardi practice, a woman should not have in mind to accept Shabbos until after she lights the candles. She shouldn't have in mind when during the bracha, or else she has a problem then. If she has in mind when she's making the bracha, she can't light the candles. So clearly, the custom is based on the fact that a woman does not accept Shabbos by mere lighting of the candles, and she accepts Shabbos afterwards. And we also, we really accept that also. In other words, that it's not automatic, because there's a discussion, let's say it's every Yontif, but especially Yom Kippur comes up. Yom Kippur, so we make a Shachianu at the beginning of Yom Kippur. We usually do it, you know, the beginning. We usually daven Mincha early, and then we make the Shachianu. So the woman, when she lights candles, so some have a custom to make Shachianu when they light candles. So therefore, lighting candles and having mind to drive to shul, that's not a problem. We say, according to everybody, if you have intent, if you have intent not to accept Shabbos or Yom Kippur, it's fine. Everyone agrees to that. However, Shachianu isn't true. You can't make a Shachianu unless it's actually Yontif. It has to be the Kedushas Hayom. At least the Shachianu we're making on the Kedushas Hayom. The Shachianu maybe on Sukkot Luluv might be something else. But the Shachianu you're making on Yontif has to be Yontif. So if So if a woman makes a shachiyanu at Kiddush, I mean, no Kiddush that night, on candle lighting, she cannot go in the car anymore. She can walk to shul or stay home. But when she makes a shachiyanu, she's accepted Yom Kippur, and then she has to treat it like Yom Kippur. That's why they recommend that one should not make shachiyanu at Kiddush, I mean, at Kaluachas Neiros, make it enjoy. Again, that's assuming the woman's going to shul. If a woman's just staying home and that's it, so then she can. There's no difference. But if you're going to go, but once you make the shachiyanu, you have no option anymore. In fact, Rabbi Yaakov of Emden, I believe, he used to fight with his wife about it all the time. That he used to tell her to not make shachiyanu on Yontif. You should be yotze with Kiddush. And I'm not sure what happened if she listened to her, but I know Rav Schechter made an arrangement with his wife. One of the deals they made before they got married, she agreed to not make shachiyanu at candle lighting. She'll be yotze, or at Yom Kippur in shul, or with his Kiddush, because he felt that's the proper way. One should not make shachiyanu until the Kedushas Hayom. So even though you can, that was the custom. So it comes out more in Yom Kippur, but only because more women go to shul on Yom Kippur. So therefore, many women then get in a car and drive over. But it's no different every Shabbos. In fact, Rav Moshe has a tshuva. I think it's actually a woman on the Lower East Side wrote him a tshuva saying, wrote him a question about, can you go in your car after you light candles? So he actually thinks you can, but he was saying that maybe, he used the answer back, maybe you're right, maybe I shouldn't be doing it anymore. He was taking mutter from the shayla, but the bottom line is it's mutter. So if you're lighting candles by definition does not accept Shabbos. That's why, even though we don't do it today, but every Shabbos Chanukah, what do we do? I think everyone's today is that we first light Chanukah candles and then we light Shabbos candles. Why? Because the people, or just assume, once you light Shabbos candles, you can't light Chanukah candles anymore. But really, that's not true. Really, you can light Shabbos candles and then light Hanukkah candles, and then accept Shabbos. But that's not the practice. It's too confusing for people. And that's why there are, in the Rishonim, some say that is the order, because of Tadir. You do Shabbos candles every week. Hanukkah candles is once in a while. In the Rishonim, people say so that fits in with the... So no one does that today. I guess that's too confusing to people. That's why our practice is... Even the Sfardim, I'm assuming, that you light Chanukah and then Shabbos. However, apparently regarding Hadlakas Neiros, the Sfardim are in concern, and therefore they say you should have in mind to accept Shabbos after you light the candles. Well, the minig of the Ashkenaz is that the woman generally accepts Shabbos when she lights candles. Hence our practice, we light the candles first, and then afterwards, why does the woman cover her eyes during the bracha? Do you want to do like a quasi over lasiyasa? We want to make it like it's a little bit that we're doing the bracha first, because what we do is the woman lights the candles, she covers her eyes so she doesn't get benefit from the candles, she makes the bracha, and then she gets benefit till we try to make it ki'ilu, it's over lasiyasa. So those are the different minhagim. Even among Svardim, you have a machoket, the Ben Ishchai and the Avadji Yosef. But the minhag Ashkenaz is clear. You first light the candles, and then you make the bracha afterwards. That's the standard Ashkenazic practice, whether it's a man lighting or a woman, that's the practice. And, yeah, Jeff or Henry, who was it? Yeah, she can. So we assume if a woman generally accepts Shabbos when she lights, so the assumption is that she's accepting Shabbos. However, as Jeff is pointing out, if she has negative kavanah, says I am specifically, that's fine. But that's not a woman-man thing. Because generally a man doesn't accept Shabbos until he gets to shul. But if a man's the one lighting candles, it's no different. It's not a woman versus man thing. It's an issue of when you light candles, do you normally accept Shabbos or not? If you do, then the assumption is prior to any other evidence to the contrary, you're accepting Shabbos. If you have kavanah not to, that's fine. So all agree to that. So all agree that if you have kavanah not to accept it, but by Shechiyanu you cannot have that kavanah. I mean, you can, but it won't work. It's Shechiyanu yumakabel yantiv bal karka. So on Shabbos, the Ashkenazic practice is clear. You make the bracha after. For Sfardim, yesh v'yesh. What about yantiv? If you're lighting candles on yantiv, when do you make the bracha? Why should it be different than Shabbos? Or is it different than Shabbos? Right, because why would it be different on Yom Tov? Because on Shabbos, there's a prohibition to light a fire. On Yom Tov, if you have a pre-existing flame, you're allowed to light a flame. So therefore, you could light candles after. So what's the Ashkenazic practice of Yom Tov? So some say, and I think this is the general meaning, but, you know, yesh v'yesh, that keep it simple, and you make the same way. You know, you light the candles, and then you make the bracha. But others say no. By yantif, since you're allowed to take a pre-existing flame, so therefore by yantif, you have a debate on the issue. But by Friday night, we don't have a debate. I mean, there is a debate, but the Ashkenazic practice is that on Shabbos, we do it. I'm assuming on Yom Tov as well, more like a low pork, people don't think about it, they just go automatic. But there is what to discuss. You can't, but it's 100% permitted to make a bracha and then light the, if by mistake on Shabbos you did it, it's a problem. But if on Yom Tov, you just go ahead and light the candle. So, because either way, you have what to rely on. So that's the bracha. So, what about getting back to the actual lighting of the candle? So the lach is obviously the assumption again, pre-electric lights. So it was a dark room. So basically, a woman went in, she lit up candles, and therefore lit up the room. And whether you make the bracha before or after, that's how the lach is neiros, as we said, sholem bayis, illuminating the house. What about if you had two people who were lighting candles in the house? It was going to be in the same room. Talking two different ends. So is there a problem for that Let's say you have a family over. Or could a second person light candles in that room? Is that an issue? Because why would it be? Because there's a candle lit in the room. Is that a problem or it's a non-issue? So that's another machlokas, the machaber and the ramah, Svardim versus Ashkenaz.
What did he say about the light being already on?
What about what?
What if there's a light already on?
Yeah, well, you mean an electric light?
Yeah.
I know, we didn't get to right now I'm pre-electricity. That's my next step will be electric light. We don't know about that creation yet. So it's this dark in the room, it's this candles. So could you light a second candle in the room? So you could definitely light a second candle in the room. The question is, can I make a bracha on the second candle into the room?
So before or after the first bracha has been made?
Yeah, no, forget it. It doesn't make a difference. If the first person lit candles, yeah. So even if the first person did make a bracha, it wouldn't make a difference. The point is now there's light in the room. So the Rav Yosef Cairo, the Machaba says, first come, first serve. Ko akodam zacha. The first person in makes the bracha. That's it. Any other woman can light candles, but she can't make a bracha anymore. She forfeits her right to bracha. And the Ramah disagrees and says, the second woman can. I think he uses a language of three or four. So we'll see how high the Ramah goes will be a discussion. But he definitely says a couple of women could still, there reaches a point where even the Rama would agree it's a problem. But let's assume up until 3-4 women could come in and still, what's the issue? What's the debate between the Mechaber and the Rama? The debate is, can you make a blessing on, you? Everyone agrees if it's a dark room and then you're giving it illumination, of course you can make a bracha, that's Sholom Bayis. But what about if there's already light and you're just doing Tosefis, or you're just adding some light? Is adding light enough? Do you need creating light? Do you have to be the one making the dark to light? Or is this even adding a significant type of light, is that enough? So the Mechaber says, no, that doesn't work, Tosefis, or that you can't make a bracha on it. And the Rama disagrees. And he agrees up until like 3-4 people. So of course, even according to the Rama then, let's say you go to a hotel and there are 300 people lighting candles there. Even according to the Rama, it won't be simple. Of course, if you're the first one there, it will be simple. And the second, third, and fourth. But if you're the 300th woman lighting candles there, maybe according to the Rama, that's not... the question will be, at what point is it no... At what point do we go from Tosefis or to nothing? At what point do I say there's enough light in the room where a person can't light anymore? So that's what we'll have to discuss. But so again, so if you're Svarti, if there's someone else already lit in the room, that's it. You could light, but no bracha for you. If you're Ashkenaz, you could light as long as there's 2 or 3 people lighting. So today, we know we have to deal with something called electricity, electric lights. So therefore, the question is, as Janet wants, let's say there's an electric light in my room, and I'm lighting in my dining room, my kitchen, it's a galachter, it's a joke. Like, what do you mean? I'm going to light a little candle, and there's an electric light? Well, what's the story with that? It clearly would seem to be, you know, Tosefis Or, like, at best it would be Tosefis Or. The question is, the Gemara tells us, if you light a candle during the day, it's nothing. You're not adding anything. Well, clearly, you're making a fire, but there's no significant gain. So the Gemara says it's like you're doing nothing. So therefore, what about lighting a candle in a room filled with electric lights? Are you actually accomplishing anything? Yeah, Henry. Who always does it?
You always light in a room full of electric lights.
Huh?
It's our normal. That's the normal circumstance.
Is it? Well, maybe we'll have. Maybe it will be become the new abnormal, like the COVID. You're used to a new abnormal. Maybe we'll have to change. Maybe what you're saying is correct. Maybe it's not. But I'll just qualify what you actually mean, because obviously we're going to have electric lights in the house. That is a given. That is true. We'll have to work that out with lighting candles. So it goes like this. So I just saw a tshuva from one of the Sephardi poskim who was actually, see, I guess the first question is can I fulfill my mitzvah with electric lights? Does electric lights take the place of a candle? In other words, does the electric lights have a status of an ash, a fire? Or do I need a status of a fire? So some Svarti poskim say you can't use electric. So therefore so if you assume electric lights don't count, so he, according to this opinion, I could argue on it anyway, he says, since you can't fulfill your mitzvah with electric lights, so therefore you could light a candle with a room full of electric lights and make the bracha, because that doesn't help for the mitzvah. That's what some say, which I have a problem with that, because what's the difference? I should say, what this person is assuming, that you need a din of esh for... you need a din to be yotzei hadlakas neiros. You need a din of esh. The problem is you're not really. He's assuming it's good, even though you're not adding any illumination. So we'll have to understand that view. But that's the difficulty with that view. But that's what he says. So generally, we assume that you could by electric lights, right now I'm assuming incandescent before I get into LED and fluorescent back in the day. So incandescent is a burning filament. So generally that's been accepted in halacha as a din of fire. In other words, it's a biblical prohibition. This way, if you make a match on Shabbos, we assume most of the standard assumption is if you light an incandescent light bulb on Shabbos, that's also in violation of the biblical prohibition of Havara, or making a fire. That's the assumption we'll work with. I'm not saying, we could ding zach on that also, but that's the general, that's the assumption, it's a fire. And that's why, in fact, Rav Chaim Ozer Gruzinski, the great gadol in Europe, he was like where Moshe Feinstein was in the United States. He was like the gadol posek hador in Europe. So Rav Chaim Ozer Gruzinski, he specifically made havdalah over an incandescent light bulb to tell people, because people under an impression, they didn't know electricity, how it worked. So he specifically made havdalah, you need an ish. So he specifically made havdalah over a light bulb just to show his point that it's ish. So that's the assumption. So most assume if you have an incandescent light bulb, it has a din of a fire, and one can certainly use that today for your candle lighting. So let's say you didn't have candles, or perhaps maybe you like me, you don't like leaving fire alone in your home, especially when you have to, when you can go out to shul or go out to, and therefore I'm against leaving fire alone all the time, by the way. So one should have, you should always use electric, perhaps if you're leaving your house. That's a separate, that's just more of a halacha involves common sense and safety. So I wouldn't say it's a non-halachic issue, but either way, but in general, especially Hanukkah time when the candles are less safe because they fall over. I've heard too many cases where people come back and their houses are burned down. So we'll leave it at that. Don't leave fire alone. So unless you have the proper precautions. So either way, so the halacha is that we assume that if you light an incandescent light bulb, so let's say you don't have fire. So we assume you could light an incandescent light bulb and fulfill your mitzvah Friday night. That's pretty much today. It was a major debate then. I'd say it's pretty universal today. Rav Moshe Feinstein was against the bracha, but I say we assume not. Like we assume even with the bracha. So if someone didn't have candles and all they had was an incandescent light bulb, I tell them to make the bracha on their incandescent light bulb, and that's it. So we paskin, you can make a bracha on an incandescent light bulb. So therefore, based on this, Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, Rav Soloveitchik, and many others suggest the following, getting to Henry's question. If today, what's the main light? The main light's the electric light in our house. The candles play a very little role in terms of shedding light. And if you put a candle in a, so what should the proper practice be? What you should do is, it's only tomorrow night, so you might remember, I don't know. But what one should do is, before they light their candles, because whether it's man or woman, they have an attachment to candles. I don't want to take it away from you, this emotional connection. So keep on lighting the candles if you want. If you want to drop candles, I'm okay with that. But if you want to keep the candles, so what do? You go around the house. Any light that you want on for Shabbos, you go into the bathroom, you shut the light on, off, and turn it back on. The kitchen light, you pick the lights you want. And when you make the bracha on the candle, you have in mind it's going on all the lights of the house. So you really are, you don't run into any bracha levatola problem, because maybe, in other words, you'll say, well, according to the Mechaber, it should really be a problem. But even according to the Ramah, I don't know if that's Tosefis or anymore. If you have all electric lights in your house, it's not so simple. The Ramo would be happy with that either. So to make I'm interested in Shalom. I want to make everyone happy. So I recommend you could tell your wives or whoever lights that that should be the appropriate practice. That you, before you light the candles, you should go in mind and go turn on every light with Shame Shabbos. And then you make the, I guess if you're Sephardi, maybe you do that afterwards. Because you're doing the bracha, and then you don't accept the Shabbos. Perhaps, yeah, well, unless you hold like that Sephardi posig, then you know you better then it won't help anyway. But either way, so I believe the consensus view is you can make a bracha on electric lights. That is the main light. Making a bracha just on the candle, I would say is problematic because you're running into an issue. You're really not getting any benefit. You know, I'll find the limud tchus for you at the end of the day anyway. But if you ask me after, I'll say it's not a bracha levatola. But if you ask me before, I tell you it's preferable. You should have this in mind. And therefore, when you make the bracha, have in mind to go on all the lights in your room. And that's what, and in fact, that's what Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky told his wife when she was in a hotel. His wife was connected to the candles. Nothing wrong with that. You're in good company. So he told his wife to turn on the light in the bathroom in the hotel room. And then go downstairs. And when you make the bracha, because you can't light candles in your room. It has always been a danger and it will continue to be one. You go down to the place where the hotel put aside that you should light your shot. And have in mind, the bracha is going on the lights in my room. And that was his practice, and that's what Rav Soloveitchik and many other gedolim, that's the recommended practice. So of course, keep your electrolytes on, but when you light the candles, go ahead and turn on all your lights that you'll need with Shem Shabbos. That's the preferable practice. So you could be Yotze with the electric lights, that's not an issue. So that's what we assume.
Yeah.
Well, I'll get to that. So that's incandescent light bulbs. That's the standard. You could be Yotze. So the problem is, let's move on to our generation. It's very hard to find incandescent light bulbs. And how do you know if it is? I'm not even sure. I'd probably guess Rover the lights today aren't incandescent anymore. I always like doing a trivia question with myself, but I'll throw it out to you is, what... When you were in your house, you only had an option. You have to go all fluorescent or all incandescent. What's the halakhic preference? So I'm just going to give you the pro and con of each. The pro of having all fluorescent lights is you can't desecrate Shabbos min haTorah by turning on your lights, no matter what, because they're not considered fire. So that's the good thing. It minimizes your sins. But the problem is for fluorescent lights is it definitely inhibits my problem with making Havdalah. Havdalah, you clearly need a fire. What about Friday night candles? So Friday night candles is a major debate among the poskim. Though many assume everyone would agree. If you're in a hospital room and you only have fluorescent lights, LED lights, that you should light them. No, the question is, should you? But some would say not to make a bracha on them because they're not sure if you fulfill your mitzvah halakas neira. So they tell you not to make a bracha. However, we have a mesorah from Rav Yitzchak Abadi, in the name of Rav Aaron Cutler, who said, I guess they had fluorescent lights then, or LED, because did he pass away in the 60s? I don't know how he would know about Rav Abadi's still alive. But he said he had a tradition from Rav Aaron. I thought he was Rav Aaron Cutler's posek, but either he had a tradition from Rav Aaron Cutler that he said, for Friday night candles, you can even make a bracha. Obviously, if you have incandescent, then why get involved with the shayla? But if you have fluorescent, you can even make a bracha. And as well, I heard Rav Mordechai Willig is in agreement. And I also heard Rav El Yashav. I actually was reading an article and I was surprised. Wow, Rav El Yashav is also on board. So assuming those, I could confirm Rav Abadi and Rav Kalor. And I've heard Rabbi Willig, who's a big posek in the UN, one of my rebbeim at Yeshiva University, and as well as Rebbe Yashov, who was one of the Gedolei Hador, he also said floresh. And so I'd say the majority opinion would say probably not to make a bracha on fluorescent, but I think you have what to rely on. Your Rebbe Yashov, Rebbe Abadi, and even on a fluorescent light, one can make a bracha. Again, so this is talking about not for Havdol. Everyone agrees Havdol is a no-go. Why do they say, what's the issue whether you can make a bracha on it? Well, to me, I assume the issue is, do you need Eish? In other words, if you assume it's the bracha is made on a din of Eish, so then fluorescent, every LED and fluorescent is an Eish. So therefore, you couldn't make a bracha. But Rev Mordechai Willig, Rev Abadi, Rev Aaron Cutler, Rev Yashev, what are they assuming? They learned the Gemara. Why are we lighting Shabbos candles? Mishum Shalom Bayis, because of illumination in the. So what's the difference? What the point is, if it gives the purpose, it's not a din and an eish. The din is to illuminate your house. So by hook or by crook, I guess how far you go by, you know, if some other like new thing comes up with creating light, but that's what they're assuming. It's a din in light. It's a din in Shalom Bayis, not to stub your toe when you could see. And therefore, they assume you can even make a bracha on fluorescent. So that'd only be for Friday night, definitely not Havdalah. Regarding Hanukkah, most would assume, most would assume you cannot use. So for Hanukkah, the best thing is to do a battery-operated, you know, if you're stuck on a plane or something, to use a battery operated, and most assume incandescent lights, like Rav David Cohen and other people I spoke to. He used the Lashon, I asked him, he used the Lashon of Nair, which is, you know, but he said no bracha on Hanukkah. He agreed if it's incandescent light bulb, that's the sheet of Rav Aaron Soloveitchik. Johnny send, you know, his email to Rev Abadi's kids. I spoke to Rabbi Simon. He never heard him say it. He never got back to me to check into it. But Johnny showed me the email from one of them, and he said even you could turn on your Apple light and fulfill your mitzvah, which is, I'm not saying he doesn't say it. If he does say it, the assumption is it's a din in persume nisa, not a din in eish. In other words, if you assume Hanukkah is a din in Nair or Eish, and then obviously fluorescent is out, which most assume apparently. Then, but I'm just giving the lumdis. If you're assuming it's good, I'm assuming if everybody said it, meaning the son definitely said it, whether his father also said it, so then it means they're assuming if it's a din in persuming Nisa, and apparently then I follow then. If it's a din in persuming Nisa, you don't need Eish, it's a din in, so even fluorescent. So Friday, so definitely Havdalah is out. Hanukkah is probably out by most, but Friday night, even though everyone agrees you collide, I'd say you have what to rely on even with a bracha. So if you're someone stuck in a hospital and you only get those plug-ins and probably you're only going to get fluorescent, you have what to rely on to even make a bracha, you know, on that, in terms of that. And regarding Yontif, so Yontif also, it's the same halacha. Whatever's a light for Shabbos is a light for Yontif. The issue, what about Yontif Sheni? I don't even like Yontif Sheni. What's the difference between the second night of Yontif and the first night? I'll tell you a difference. We'll see if the difference makes a difference or not. When I light candles on Friday, the truth is it applies to Shabbos also, as I'll show you. The difference is, when do we light candles on Friday? What's Henry showing me? I can't see. And right, go on.
Interior of the fluorescent light. You see that red thing there?
Yep.
That's an incandescent filament. It's inside of a fluorescent light. The fluorescent light won't work unless there's an incandescent filament inside of it.
Oh, so you're saying every fluorescent light has an incandescent?
Every fluorescent light has an incandescent filament inside of it.
Right. So if that, awesome. if that, so maybe it's a machlokes. So then, if that's true, fluorescent wouldn't be a problem, unless he's saying, does that create the light, or that's a step.
No, that evaporates mercury that produces that partially makes the electricity.
Does it could.
The fluorescent filament doesn't make the light; it stimulates the light formation.
So what's the difference between an ink? If you're telling me that both the burning filament, what's the difference between? How is an incandescent light differently? Like, is that?
Because incandescent light, the light is actually generated by the heat of the filament.
Right. Because that's hot.
It's irrelevant because that filament doesn't produce any light as far as practical.
No, right. I'm saying, so even the fact it's in there, right? It also doesn't get hot and stuff, which is part of also one of the definitions. But interesting idea anyway. Thank you, Henry. So getting back to lighting candles. So Friday afternoon is no problem. It's not Shabbos yet, so I can do anything I want. So that's not an issue. But the question, and also Yontif Rishon, generally speaking, it's before Yontif, there's no problem. Yontif Sheni creates a potential problem. Why? Well, I thought I'm allowed to light candles on Yontif, so what's the problem? If I have a pre-existing flame, why should Yontif Sheni be different? What's the problem? I'll tell you why. Because the halacha is, you're only allowed to light a candle, you're only going to light a fire if you're going to get benefit from it, if there's a purpose to it. So if you're going to light a candle and the electric lights are... See, before Yontif, you could, again, do what I told you. Shut off all the lights and turn them on with Shem Yontif. It's not an issue. You have a little problem, Yontif Sheni, because you can't turn the lights on and off. So the assumption is, Yontif Sheni, when you light, the room is full of light. So the problem is that a number one, two problems. It's doing a prohibited action, albeit it might only be Durabana because it's Yontif Sheni. You're doing a malacha, you can't turn on you can't create a new light, by new light I mean from a pre-existing flame if there's no benefits, what they call a near shel avtola. You're just making a fire for no purpose. And then you have a bracha levatola to deal with. So those are two issues. And that's the same issue regarding a yahrzeit candle. So if you light a yahrzeit candle before Yontif, it's not a problem. But what about if you want to light a Yontif candle, a yahrzeit candle, when you light candles Yontif Sheni? So again, so that's the same debate. Some say it's a problem because you're not gaining from the candle. And others say you are. There is a benefit because why? Because it's an emotional benefit. You're thinking of your loved one, the neshama. So that's a debate. It's always best if you could light the candle before Yontif to avoid it. But that's this is a discussion whether you could light a yahrzeit candle on Yontif itself. If you assume there's an emotional, it's definitely not giving you any light, but you could argue a yahrzeit candle is emotional, so I follow. The issue is, what about the Yontif candle? What's the benefit? So there are those, quoting Rav Yitzchak Abadi again, Rav Herschel Schachter is joining the crowd, and perhaps others, who say one should not light candles the second night of Yontif. One should not light candles because why? They're lighting an unnecessary fire and they're making a blessing in vain. That is their opinions. And they tell, I guess that's another thing he told his wife. I'm not sure if he told them before they got married or after, but I'm assuming his wife does not light candles Yontif Sheni. And I'm assuming Rav Abadi's wife doesn't either. And if he's lighting, he doesn't. So that's their opinion. And so what? So it seems like a strong argument. Yet I'd say most people do light candles Yontif Sheni. So obviously most people don't even know it's a problem. But let's assume, I'm assuming many Gedolim are aware of the issue. And I spoke to Rav David Cohn about it. I asked him, I was trying, I don't know if I was trying to, but I must have got him worked up. I said, are you allowed to light candles on Yom Tov Sheni? So he said to me, that's an OCD question. I said, what do you mean? I said, what if, I said, why are you allowed to light candles? I said, it's a near shell of Torah. So he said Tosef is or. So of course I was gonna press some more and say it's like lighting a candle in the middle of the day, but we didn't get that far, needless to say. But the bottom line is, that's a shita. He knows about electricity and he thinks it's Tosef is or. Maybe you get into a machlokas. If that's Tosefis or, then I guess lighting in a hotel shouldn't be a problem either. Then, if you want to learn, if you take Tosefis or literally, I am adding fire. So then, okay, anytime you light something, you're adding. But that's not so simple. That's the definition. I guess you have to do a scientific search to see if actually lighting candle helps any light in the room. And either way, but he's in the consensus view. Most say you do light candles. I'm not telling any woman who wants to light candles Yom Tov Sheni she can't. I'm just pointing out the issue. And so at least I want to tell you what you're basing it on if you are going to do it. Because from a halakhic point of view, it sounds problematic. So how do they answer? So Rav Moshe and Rav Shlomo Zalman Orabach, they start talking about it's a minig Yisrael. So a minig Yisrael, that there's always been a minig. I guess before electricity, it never came up because it was dark in the room. And electricity is not that new, but I guess it shouldn't be such a recent Shaila, but since the minhag was, women always lit candles Yom Tov Sheni, so even though, you're right, there are lights in the room, but we continue the minhag. That's what they argue. Of course, a Rabbati would say, you don't continue a minhag, which is keneged the din. You don't do a minhag that's against the halacha. So Rav Shlomo Zalman wants to say, Rav Shechter doesn't like this. The question is, does ambiance count? So Rav Shechter doesn't think so, but Rav Shlomo Zalman does. He says, maybe you could argue, it's true it's not adding light, but in the ambiance, you want a nice Shabbos meal, you're more cozy, whatever the feel is, it adds some type of ambiance. So that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says, maybe we can rely on that. But the bottom line is, most women, the minhag Yisrael is still to light Yom Tov Sheni. There are those, a minority of you, which might be growing, but a minority of you would tell the wives that it's best not to light on Yom Tov Sheni because of this issue. What Rav Menashe Klein suggests, and this work, everyone would agree to this, that you should now, I guess, assuming you use Shabbos clocks, Rav Moshe was against Shabbos clocks, but he said you could do it for light. He says you should set your Shabbos clock or Yom Tov clock that the light should go, figure out when you plan on lighting candles. You should have the Shabbos clock go off, have it dark, and for 5 minutes, you should light the candles in the dark, and then the light comes. So Rav Shechter is fine with that. He says you're just not obligated to do that. You're not obligated to go set up the system that way, but he'd agree then. Everyone, all would agree, both Rav Shechter and Abaye would agree, then you could make a bracha in that case. So if you want to set your Shabbos clock to go off and you figure it out, of course you might be sitting in the dark on Yom Tov if it doesn't work out, but
most timers nowadays have that option.
Right. So let's summarize. So we started off discussing the issue of Friday night candles, about we light candles because of Shalom Bayis, because of illumination in the light, and we know lightness brings joy. And then we discussed the debate between the Svardim and Ashkenaz, even though there's a debate among the Svardim, but the accepted view, but most of Svardim, the Shulchan Aruch, whether you make the bracha before, like most brachas, and then you light candles after, or the Minhag Ashkenaz, we light candles afterwards, we light candles first and then we make the bracha afterwards because we wanted this to keep it simple like we do on Shabbos Chanukah. We don't want, because women generally automatically accept Shabbos when they light candles. So I guess the Sfardi just accept it after they light candles and we accept it, you know, during the Shas Hadlak, the Shas HaBracha. We point out you could have in mind not to if you want, that's fine. And then we had another machlokas mechaber Rama. If you're the second person in, can I make a bracha? Mechaber says no, no bracha on Tosefet Zohar. The Rama says yes, bracha on Tosefet Zohar. And then he says to three, four people, and perhaps it would be a problem if it's a room of hotel. But according to what Rav David Cohn's telling me, if electric lights are good, to maybe. You know, the bottom line is everyone lights in hotels anyway. That's what they rely on. They rely on Tosefis or, and maybe it's bringing, even though I was in one hotel where almost like, there's almost one of the candles tilted over and like there was a big fire, you know, the big flame blew up and they got it out in time. It wouldn't have been a pretty sight there. And the fire alarms went off and all of that. So there's a good reasons not to do that besides the halachic issues. And then we said that was pre-electric. What about lighting candles if the electric lights? If you assume electric, you can't fulfill your mitzvah, then one rabbi claimed it was okay. I'm claiming it's not so simple even that's true because you're still getting an illumination. But and we assume electric lights are good, that we make a bracha on incandescent light bulb, and that's why one should shut off and turn the lights on when you light candles. You do it all with Shem Shabbos, so it's not a problem. And then we pointed out that if you don't have candles, you could even make the bracha on fluorescent. Many say you can't, but we have Rav Aaron Cutler, Rav Abadi, Rav Willig, and Rav Yoshev, who says you can make a bracha. So, yesh al mi lismach, I would tell you can make a bracha, even on fluorescent. And then, that's only for Friday night, definitely not for Saturday night, because you need the eish. You know, probably Chanukah, most assume it wouldn't work for Chanukah either. You need an incandescent one, but we'll get to Chanukah when we get to Chanukah. And then we pointed out that the issue of Yontav Sheni. Let me just point out, it comes up all the. This child of Yontav Sheni affects Shabbos also and affects Yom Tov Rishon. What do I mean? Because if you have a 3-day Yontav and the first day is Yontav, it goes right into Shabbos, so you have the same problem Friday night of lighting candles before Shabbos. So therefore, it'd be the same. In other words, according to Rav Abadi and company, you wouldn't light candles Friday night either. It wouldn't be any different. And similarly, if Yom Tov Rishon came out, like on a situation, maybe came out the second. It was the second day. Let's say it was Shabbos, and then Yom Tov Rishon, you'd have the same problem. So you're not limited to, it's Yontav Sheni generically, but anytime you get past the first night, you're going to have the same problem, whether it's Shabbos or Yontav Rishon, I'm just pointing out. People don't realize that. And they realize, if you hold, you don't light candles Yontav Sheni, it's no different than lighting, whether it's Shabbos or Yontav, that doesn't make it, it's the same issue. It's lighting a candle, a near shel haftorah. Just to throw it out there. Any questions, comments, or alternative speeches? Henry.
I have a question. If you, let's say that you are cooking a meal, and it's just like by bad porch planning, you didn't finish the last bit that you had to cook before the time of Shabbat.